truly is a blessing to be in your presence. God, that you would humble yourself to reach out to those who have rebelled against you, who broke off the relationship with you, so that we could once again be in connection and fellowship and relationship with you. We thank you for that redemption. And God, when it comes to spreading your glory throughout the earth, we have the wonderful privilege of participating in that. Lord, you work through us and allow us to do your work. And what an amazing reality that is as well. I pray that you would teach us more about your Spirit this morning, who he is, and your willingness to send him to empower us so that we could do your work, and God, your desire just for us to draw near and enjoy you. Would you teach us this morning? In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Now, growing up, my dad, in so many ways, was my hero. I thought that he was the toughest, smartest, coolest guy that there was. And truth be told, I still think that about him. He really is an awesome dad. And as a kid, whenever dad was working around the house, I was just fascinated with whatever it was he was doing, and I wanted to be a part of it. And more often than not, he would ask me if I wanted to help out. So if dad was fixing the furnace, I wanted to help by using the tools. Can I use that, Dad? I want to put the screwdriver on up there. Well, he would have to steady my hands because I wasn't smart enough or powerful enough to turn the screw on out, but he would help me and he would guide my hands to do it. If he was washing the car, I wanted to spray the hose, but I had horrible technique and I couldn't even hold the handle all the way. And so once again, he would help me and he would guide me. And if dad was cutting the grass, I wanted to be the one to start the lawnmower, but I wasn't strong enough to pull the cord. And so dad would help me do that as well. And we would get the lawnmower started together. My dad gave me the privilege of participating in his work around the home. And he empowered me to perform jobs that were beyond my own capabilities. And one of the really cool things was just getting to spend time with my dad. Whether it was walking to the convenience store so we can get donut sticks and a chocolate milk, or if it was going for a motorcycle ride, being with dad was awesome. You know, it was totally awesome. He used to pick me up and put me on the front of the motorcycle. It was like cool in the 80s. You didn't get pulled over for this stuff. He put you on front of the motorcycle, and it was so awesome. I could see better, and I got to pretend like I was actually driving the bike. Just being with dad was awesome. I wanted to be like my dad so much as a kid that I quit eating ketchup because of him. Even though I loved the stuff and I used to drench my French fries in ketchup, once my mom told me that my dad wouldn't have ketchup with his fries because he hated the stuff, I vowed right then and there that I was going to hate ketchup too. I was no longer going to have it. And so I committed myself to hating it. And today, I still hate it. It's why I don't like it. My taste buds have changed in that regard. Now, the reason I'm bringing this part of my childhood up with you this morning is because our Heavenly Father, in a similar fashion, desires to have this type of relationship with us. He wants us to delight in His presence. He wants us to enjoy being with Him. And He gives us the privilege. He invites us to participate in His work. We get the joy of spreading His glory throughout the earth. And now you might think, that is a work that is well beyond my capability, my own abilities. It's beyond anything I could accomplish in my own strength and effort. And you would be right. But the cool thing is, God will actually empower you and train you to participate in this wonderful and glorious privilege by filling us with His Spirit and developing the gifts and the talents that He has given us. God promises to fill us with His Spirit so that we can be spiritually strengthened to accomplish the spiritual work He has invited us to participate in. This is a truly glorious and wonderful reality. It's a reality that we began to look at a few weeks back, and this morning I want us to continue to look at this glorious reality. Exodus chapter 31, starting in verse 1. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "See, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God, in wisdom and understanding and knowledge and in all manner of workmanship, to design artistic works, to work in gold and silver and bronze, and cutting jewels for setting and carving wood, and to work in all manner of workmanship. And I, indeed, I have appointed with him Aholiab, the son of Ahishamach of the tribe of Dan, and I have put wisdom in the hearts of all the gifted artisans, that they may make all that I have commanded you, the tabernacle of meeting, the ark of the testimony and the mercy seat that is on it, and all the furniture of the tabernacle, the table and its utensils, the pure gold lampstand with all its utensils, the altar of incense, the altar of burnt offering, all its utensils, and all the and the laver and its base, the garments of ministry, the holy garments for Aaron the priest, and the garments of his sons to minister as priests, and all the anointing oil and sweet incense for the holy place, according to all I have commanded you, they shall do." Shall do. Now, when it comes to the tabernacle, you guys know, as you've been here going through the book of Exodus with us, we are talking about the very dwelling place of God's manifest presence among His people. This is not just an ordinary tent. It's a wonderful and a glorious dwelling. The living God of the universe was going to set up camp in the midst of Israel. He was going to dwell there amongst His people. And it was through the tabernacle, through God dwelling there among His people, that He would spread His glory throughout the known world. More specifics are given, more details are given to this dwelling than even the temple that Solomon built. And you might think, with this unique and glorious new move of God amongst His people, this new means of God spreading His glory throughout the known world, that God would want to keep man's hands off. You know? He'll just, boonk, I'll make it happen for you. But He doesn't do that. He gives man the privilege of participation. Seems like this is a task that man would just mess up. I mean, how is he going to make something that would be so glorious that it could actually hold the manifest presence of God? How can man construct a dwelling place for God? It just seems like it would be a complete and utter mess. And the answer to how God could allow man to do it is He empowers them. If man was left to his own devices, it would be a complete utter mess. But if God empowers, if He guides, if He is behind it, then man will be able to accomplish God's purposes. Man, in and of himself, in his own natural abilities, does not have the power to build anything or do anything for the glory of God unless God Himself invites us. Unless God empowers us, we're not going to be able to do it. And we see that this is precisely the case with the tabernacle. Now today, we have the privilege of spreading God's glory throughout the earth. We have been invited to share in this great and glorious privilege by none other than Jesus Christ himself through the Great Commission. In Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, listen to what the scripture says. Here, Jesus' post-resurrection appearance to the disciples, it says, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen.'" Yes, the Great Commission is a command. And it's a command that the church should take seriously and have a readiness of hand to go out and serve the Lord in that area. But it's also a great and wonderful privilege. It's a privilege that we've been invited to share in as God works through us. Weak, and let's be honest, foolish vessels. God's going to work through weak and foolish vessels to accomplish His purposes. Now, who are we to think that on our own accord or in our own power, we could actually spread the glorious news of the gospel and bring about a real and genuine conviction in another person's life? I can't do that. I can't bring conviction into people's life. There's no way. I'm not articulate enough. I don't have good enough arguments. It is a supernatural work that the Spirit is going to have to do. I can't cause someone to repent, to want to have a desire to follow Christ, and then to go on and to begin to train people up to be authentic followers of Jesus, to be a disciple. How are we to do that? We need the Spirit of God. We need His help. We need His empowerment. I cannot do it in my own strength unless God invites me and empowers me to do the work that He has called us to do. And the cool thing is, God has invited us and He is willing to empower us. You'll remember that last time we turned to Acts chapter 1. And to examine Jesus' final words to His disciples, Jesus' final words were not the Great Commission. His final words were an invitation and a command to wait for the Holy Spirit so that they might be empowered to do the work that He had commissioned them to do. Acts chapter 1, verses 4 through 8. "And being assembled together with them, He commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which He said, 'You have heard from Me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now.' Now, therefore, when they had come together, they asked Him, saying, 'Lord, will You at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?' And He said to them, 'It is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put into His own authority.'" Listen here. "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to Me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." What is this being baptized with the Spirit? What is its purpose? It is to empower God's people so that we could be His witnesses throughout all the earth. So can we live for His glory, spread His glory, build one another up in the faith, tell others who are lost that they need Christ. God did not leave the disciples to their own devices, to accomplish the Great Commission, this magnificent and worldwide spiritual work apart from God's own spiritual empowerment. He didn't leave them. Well, go and do it, and you get nothing from me. Just figure out something clever on your own to do it. No way. I mean, can you imagine? How would we be able to do that? We wouldn't be able to do it. And you might be thinking, well, Mike, that's great. You know, the disciples were baptized with the Spirit, but what does this have to do with Beelzebul being filled with the Spirit? Well, I'm certainly glad you brought this up. I think you can begin to see that it deals with empowerment. But being filled with the Spirit and being baptized with the Spirit are just two different ways to describe the same thing, which is God drawing near to His people to empower them to do His work. Look at Acts chapter 2, and I want you to notice the way in which the Bible describes this experience that all the disciples had once the Spirit of promise came. Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. What are they doing? They're waiting, right? Just as Jesus, wait for the Spirit of promise. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. Listen here. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Being baptized with the Spirit and being filled with the Spirit are one and the same thing. Now, this is not to be confused with the indwelling work of the Holy Spirit or being sealed with the Spirit, and we do not have enough time to even flesh those things out this morning, but those things are a one-time, permanent aspect of our salvation, being indwelt and sealed by the Spirit of God as a result of being a part of His church. They're a result of us coming to Christ and being baptized by the Spirit, as the Spirit of God immerses us all, male and female, Jew and Gentile alike, into the singular body of Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 13, listen to this. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that body being many are one body, so also is Christ. Now listen, here's the difference. We're talking about being baptized with, being empowered with the Holy Spirit, being baptized by the Spirit, or sealed with the Spirit, or indwelt by the Spirit is a different thing. And here it's referred to as, for by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. Being baptized with the Spirit or being filled with the Spirit is not a one-time thing. It's not permanent. It's something that we are in continual need of. Unfortunately, in the 21st century, with all of the horrible doctrine that comes rushing through our TV screens on quote-unquote Christian television, we see people falling on the floor, and that's a manifestation of the Spirit, brother. People running around laughing and just nonsense happening, all in the name of someone being baptized in the Spirit or filled with the Spirit, brother. And we look at it and we go, that is crazy. I don't even know how that is spreading God's glory at all. You witness other people they're just speaking in tongues. It's not something powerful like we read in Acts where they spoke in tongues and then all of a sudden they shared the gospel and people came to Christ. is just shubba wubba dubba 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 dubba. What is going on? This is out of control. It's crazy stuff. And so we see that, and then we hear baptized with the Spirit. I think I'm going to avoid that like the plague. That's I don't want anything to do with that. Well, if that really is what baptism with the Spirit is, then I would tell you avoid it like the plague. But that is not what it means biblically to be baptized with the Spirit or filled with the Spirit. Those are not real manifestations of God's Spirit empowering people to spread His glory or build His church up. But we should never, ever write off being baptized with the Spirit for real, being filled with the Spirit for real. All of us should desire to be filled with God's Spirit so that we could be used for His glory. Because if we're going to accomplish anything of lasting value for His kingdom, if we're going to have any success at all at fulfilling the Great Commission, if there is any hope at all at growing or maturing in Christ, then we are going to need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We're going to need His power. You might be wondering, well, does that mean I have to speak in tongues like the disciples did? Well, not at all. Not at all. Tongues are a gift of the Holy Spirit. He doesn't give that gift to everyone. He gives it to few whom He wants to use for His glory, to spread His name. It is only a way that God demonstrates that someone is filled with the Spirit, and it's only a gift that He uses in certain times of His choosing for His glorious purposes. It can be a sign. If someone spoke in tongues in an orderly fashion for the glory of God, that can be a sign that someone is filled with the Spirit, but it is not the sign that someone is filled with the Spirit. Other times, as we read through the book of Acts, you'll actually see that when they were filled with the Holy Spirit, they're kind of just seems like, that just seems kind of, it's unique, but it's really just maybe a typical empowerment, you know? We're not thinking kind of out there like, he spoke in another language. It's just more of a, he was empowered uniquely to just proclaim the gospel. Look at it says in the book of Acts that when they were filled with the Spirit, in one place it says the evidence was they spoke the Word of God boldly. In another place in the book of Acts, it says they were filled with the Spirit and they were filled with joy, and it just doesn't say anything at all. In Acts chapter 4, verse 31, it says, and when they had prayed, this is after Peter had been released, and now they come back and they're together and they're praying, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the Word of God with boldness. There's no speaking in tongues. No. They just speak the Word of God boldly. Acts chapter 13, verse 49. And the Word of the Lord was being spread throughout all the region, but the Jews stirred up devout and prominent women, and the chief men of the city raised up persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and expelled them from their region, but they shook off the dust from their feet against them and came to Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. Well, these are people who are already saved and sealed with the Spirit of God. That's already transpired in their life. And yet here they are being filled again. And the manifestation is not something where we're like, whoa, that's really goofy. You know, it's nothing like you'd see on TV. They're speaking the Word of God boldly. They're filled with this unique joy. Now, here's the thing. In a world that is hostile to the gospel, we need God's power so that we can be bold. We need His power to make a difference and bring about conviction. We need His power to have joy during hard times. When our lives come crashing down all around us, we need the Spirit's strength. And God will give that to us if we yield ourselves to Him and lean in upon Him, asking Him to take control of our lives in every area and in every way, saying, God, you know what? I just want to live for You. I want my whole life to be lived for you. But I know I'm weak. I need your help. God, would you strengthen me? God, would you empower me to live for you and for your good purposes? And guess what? God is more than willing to fill you up as you yield yourself to him. The more you desire of him, the more you wait upon him, the more you seek him through prayer and you spend time meditating upon his word and you're saying, God, I just want you. I want to know you. It's during those times of refreshment, his spirit begins to fill us up and empower us so that we can live for his glory. Being filled with the spirit is something that we need all the time. All of the time, for we are constantly discovering new areas in our life that need to be given over to him, right? You know, as we're growing in Christ, we're like, man, I need the Spirit to be controlling me in this area because I recognize at work I'm having a rough time, you know, when it comes to this group of people or this situation or in the home with the kids. God, fill me with your spirit so that I could raise them in a way that would honor you, or at school, dealing with other classmates. We need God's help. We're constantly faced with new challenges, and the spread of God's glory throughout the earth is a work that never stops. And God wants us to lean upon him constantly. It is an overwhelming and daunting task. It's a work that drains us spiritually. And God wants us to depend upon him. We're to depend upon him alone for strength and for power to accomplish his work in his time and his way. And that's the only way that God's glory is going to be spread. And you and I have been invited to participate in that work. Have you ever noticed one of those dancing, inflatable tube men, you know, outside of a car dealership or someplace like that? That tube man has no power on his own to advertise. He's completely dependent upon the fan. Without the fan, he's not advertising anything. I mean, he might move around a little flat on the ground, but he's advertising to no one. His deflated motions are accomplishing nothing. Without the fan, there isn't any real power in the tube man's life. He is dependent upon the fan continually so that he can do the work that he was made to do. But he needs to be filled continually. The fan has to always be on because he leaks. As soon as you turn the fan off, he's down. He's leaking. That's kind of like how we are too. We need to depend upon God continually so that he's always filling us up so that we can be empowered to live for him and accomplish his purposes. In addition to our normal leakage and new areas of discovering where God needs to help us, we can become disconnected. We can begin to look to other means besides the Lord for joy and for boldness, but that is never going to help us grow in Christ. It's never going to empower us to fulfill the Great Commission. The only solution is to be continually filled with the Spirit of God so that we can live and work for his glory and with his power to be his witnesses. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 21, listen to what the Apostle Paul tells this church. He says, see then that you walk circumspectly. This is verse 15. Not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, why? Well, we need our lives yielded to the Lord. We need to be empowered by God's Spirit. Look what we need to be empowered to do. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. The command to be filled with the Spirit in this passage is in the present tense. in the original language, which speaks of an ongoing, continual action. The Amplified Bible translates verse 18 like this: "Do not get drunk with wine, for that is wickedness, it's corruption, stupidity. But be filled with the Holy Spirit and constantly guided by Him." It's an ongoing, continual thing. Throughout the book of Acts, the disciples were filled and filled again. Even from what we've just previously read, we can see that the disciples were in need of continual fillings. In Acts chapter 2, Peter was there and he was filled. In Acts chapter 4, verse 31, Peter was released, he was there amongst the group, and the Bible says he was filled again. Paul and Barnabas, filled again, in a constant need of being filled. Being filled with the Spirit is the way God empowers us as we yield ourselves to Him in every area of our life. And I want you to see, just as we mentioned briefly there in Ephesians 5, that some of the ways the Spirit empowers us, you would go, That's the Spirit empowering me? No way. I need the Spirit to empower me to do that. Yeah, you do. Look at what it says. Verse 19, it says, "A Spirit-filled person is able to edify the body of Christ by speaking in psalms and in hymns, making a melody in their hearts, giving thanks to God the Father." You know, someone who is yielded to the Spirit of God, who's drawing near to the Father, meditating upon God's Word, saying, "God, I want You. I want more of You. Would You take control of my life? Would You empower me to live for You?" And they're thinking upon God's goodness. They have worship songs. The Spirit of God is just flooding their heart with worship songs. They're thinking about the things that they're thankful for. As they're coming to church, they're praying and saying, "God, I want to be used by You and help me to serve my brothers and sisters in Christ." And then when you're there at the door, you're able to give them a real, like, "Hey, how's it going, brother? Oh, I love you. How's it going? God's good." We're fellowshipping and talking, you know. It's like, "Hey, something's different about that guy. What's going on? He's filled with the Spirit. He's humming worship songs." Like, that means you're Spirit filled. Humming worship songs and stuff? Yeah, but you're like, "I'm authentically enjoying it. I love every part of this worship song. It's so awesome. God's so good." It's a sign of being filled with the Spirit. You're able to impart that to other believers. You depend upon Him. When we're filled with the Spirit, we're able to share God's goodness effectively. We're able to encourage our brothers and sisters in Christ with the Spirit's empowerment. And He's able to use the gifts that He's given us in the most effective fashion to build up the church so that we can become better disciples together. And what we learn from Beelzebul and Aholiab and from all the other gifted artisans is that the Spirit's empowerment comes to His people to do that which is most needed to spread His glory throughout the earth, and to build up the entire community of God's people in their relationship with Him. The way in which God fills a person might be to do some basic construction. I mean, that was a special work. I mean, when we think of building the tabernacle, that's a physical work, but it really was a spiritual work. Something was going on there. And so, you're like, gifted artisans? Building stuff? They were empowered by the Spirit to do that? Well, yeah, they were. It was going to have massive ramifications on how all the other people got together to worship God. Not everyone went up to the mountain to meet with God and come back down and talk to Him. Only Moses did that. But was Beelzebul or Aholiab's work any less significant? No. It wasn't less significant at all, and they needed God's power to do what God had asked them to do. We need Spirit-filled people in the children's ministry. That's an important work. We need Spirit-filled people greeting at the door, serving with security, helping in hospitality. We need Spirit-filled people fellowshipping with one another, encouraging one another, praying for one another. We need Spirit-filled people living for the glory of God at work, living their life in a yielded fashion, handling situations with wisdom. We need that. That's how God's glory is going to spread. That's how the church is going to be built up. And God invites us to participate in all of that. Now, last but certainly not least, God gives us the glory of rest. It too is a command, but at the same time, it's an invitation and a privilege. Verses 12 through 18 of Exodus 31, "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak also to the children of Israel, saying, Surely my Sabbaths you shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you. I'm the one who set you apart. I'm the one who's brought you to myself. And you shall keep the Sabbath, therefore it is holy to you. Everyone who profanes it shall surely be put to death." Whoa. "For whoever does any work on it, that person shall be cut off from among his people. Work shall be done for 6 days, but the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Therefore, the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations as a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days, the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day, he rested and was refreshed. And when he had made an end of speaking with him on Mount Sinai, he gave Moses 2 tablets of the testimony, tablets of stone written with the finger of God." And now Moses has got them in hand, and we'll see what happens next as he gets ready to descend back down the mountain. The Sabbath was holy unto the Lord. It was meant to remind Israel of the finished and completed work of God. God rested on the seventh day after completing all of his work of creation. Man lived in a sanctified relationship and enjoyed the manifest presence of God there in the garden. And now Israel is about to have the manifest presence of God there in their camp, in the tabernacle. On that final day of creation, Adam and Eve, you just got to enjoy God. It's going to be with him, worship him. As those who have been created in his image for his glory, there was nothing that man did to work for that privileged position, to earn that privileged position. God just gave it to him. And now, after God rescues and redeems Israel, after he accomplished and completed the work of redemption, the work of bringing Israel out of Egypt and bringing them into a covenant relationship with himself through his power and his strength, he commands them to keep the Sabbath. Today, Jesus is the fulfillment of the Sabbath. We no longer need to bother with observing a day of rest, although it is important to rest. You know, don't work yourself to death. Take a day off, you know. Your body does need that. But the main thing for us is to enter into the finished and completed rest of Jesus Christ. You see, it was important for God that his people recognize that a redeemed and restored relationship was the work that he and he alone could complete and finish, and that they had the ability to enjoy. There was nothing that Israel could do to earn their redemption. They did not contribute to the redemption in any fashion. God alone did the work, and they were to enjoy it. Just draw near to God. Set aside a day. Be in relationship with me. They're to be in relationship with the Lord always, but just enjoy. Enjoy what I have done. Set that day aside. Now, the command comes with some pretty severe consequences for violating it. They were to be cut off or executed if they violated the Sabbath. And I believe the contrast here and the importance here between working for God's glory and enjoying God's glory comes into play. And in both are aspects of worship, and neither one is to be disconnected from the other. The reality is if we do not take the time to rest in God's presence, if we're not enjoying God, drawing near to Him, just living in relation and communion with Him, you're going to end up with the inability to be filled with the Spirit. You're not going to be able to do anything effectively for the Lord, to spread His glory. Our capacity to be filled with the Spirit is in direct proportion to our enjoyment of God Himself. Just resting in His presence, drawing near to Him, worshiping Him in truth. I mean, true ministry work cannot be done any other way. Real fruitful work, it comes out of the lives of those where you can stand back and go, that man, that woman, they love God. They love God. It's evident that they've been spending time with Him. And God is working through that person. I don't get it. It's beyond him. It's beyond her. I mean, the fruit that's coming out of it, that's not them. That's the Lord doing it. And that comes as people spend time with. That's what we're created for. That's what He redeemed us for. So that we can have our hearts just surrendered to Him and we just enjoy Him. And then the work that we do comes out of that overflow. It comes out of that enjoyment of God just being with Him. We say, God, I get to work for You. I mean, if we separate that and we say, I'm just going to work and just never enjoy God. Oh, horrible. You know, that's horrible. Or if all we do is isolate ourselves and I'm going to be a monk and just read the Bible, never serve anyone. That's not good either, you know. God wants to spread His glory. He wants to use us to build one another up. They both got to come together. They come together uniquely here in this passage. You just see this tension being held on here. And we want that to happen and transpire in our life, don't we? We do. Lord, we thank You for Your word and Your truth. And I pray that, God, we would be people that could rest in Your presence, enjoy Your presence. And God, as we yield ourselves up to You, would You fill us with Your Spirit? God, would You empower us so that we could be used for Your glory? We are men and women who leak. We get spiritually worn out, and we need to be refreshed in Your presence continually, Lord. Fill us, God, for Your glory and Your good purposes. In Jesus' name, amen.